Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Welcome, welcome. Here we are then, episode 2 in a brand new series of The One Show, where we welcome one show and we welcome all. We are back, it's season 3, and it's the podcast that watches TV's The One Show do its business and then gets hold of its collar and rubs its nose in it to teach it a lesson. I am John Holmes, and we're here again as your guide to a programme you never watch, picking through it like televisual prospectors to see if it contains anything of value. It doesn't. This week, then, a man is unimpressed by a room full of dishwashers, Matt Baker doesn't read a book, and an eagle eats a duck. Joining me to give The One Show a Chinese burn in the bogs near the science block this week is regular One Show sommelier Mark Haynes and TV critic, entertainment journalist, broadcaster and co-host of the Series Linked podcast. It's Emma Bullimore, a Chinese burn. Bullimore. That's why I put that in there.
Very excellent. Good. Strong work.
Culturally appropriated a playground act of violence.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. This is even more sophisticated broadcasting than The One Show itself.
Well, it's not hard to
do. Did you used to get bullied at school with people shouting "bully more" and then they'd bully you?
Not at all, no. Sorry.
Times have changed, haven't they?
I've nicked her lunch money. Do you watch The One Show ordinarily? I mean, you're a TV critic.
Well,
you watch everything.
Well, I do, because a lot of the guests might be people that I go on to interview, or they might be talking about programmes that I'm writing about. So actually, it's quite educational for me in many ways. And also, sometimes it's an ordeal. But sometimes it throws out some tidbits as well. So, yes, I am very well versed with The One Show.
You're the first person that's come on here that's ever said they watch it anyway. Professional reasons.
It's the joys of working from home. That's what I
suppose. So, did you study it for this in any more detail? Did you let it wash over you like it normally does and just hope bits fell out?
No, I made sure that I watched every single episode and I wasn't cooking while I was doing it, which is usually what I do. I was a good student. Wow. I was prepared for you guys.
All right, should we start on Monday? Did you see Monday?
It's worth saying, John, I've got what I'm calling ennui, which is where you have ennui about The One Show. And I know that's a natural thing when you're watching it. You go, well, this is dull and this is a bit boring. And I'm finding it hard to actually concentrate on what they're actually saying and what's on the screen. But this week, I really hit a brick wall with it. And I think it's because we've come back. Do you know, like, when a serious illness is in remission and then they say, oh, it's back, and you go, well, I just don't know if I can cope this time. I feel like that about this season. And I really had one wee. And I had a sort of few hours where I was like, I should watch that. Yeah. And I think to myself, do you know what I'm going to do instead? I'm just going to sit in this chair with the television off rather than put myself through it. So, I did see Monday's show.
Yeah, well, no wonder you were put off for the rest of the week. It's Monday, of course, began with the dance-a-thon, didn't it?
Yeah,
the Comic Relief dance-a-thon.
As ever, we are live, but tonight the clock is ticking because in just under 17 minutes, look, two Strictly stars will start dancing. And apparently they're not going to stop for 24 hours.
This is a problem that we mentioned last week, which is Comic Relief and any charity things they do on the BBC. The One Show is the front of house for hyping that. And so you get... Comic Relief is not, you know, it's supposed to be just Red Nose Day. And with the One Show, it becomes 2 weeks of saying, do you know what? In 2 weeks' time, there's a really good day coming.
Yeah.
That day is not here yet, but we're going to tell you how good it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so the content is boring beyond belief.
Well, and Matt Baker sitting on his massive salary saying, oh, it's really important that you donate, guys. And you're like, no, mate. Like, yeah. Absolutely not. There is nothing more boring than the Rickshaw Challenge. So yeah. I think the dance-a-thon is a step up from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Rickshaw Challenge is a nadir in not just television, but human existence.
I think Matt and Alex, though, had the same feeling as you this week. Because they sort of gave up and just said, you know, the call-out. They've started calling it a call-out at the beginning.
I thought that was terrible. I hadn't noticed that before. Why are they calling it that?
I don't know. It used to be just, they used to naturally weave it in as best they could, but now they just go, well, tonight's call out is this, and then they'll say, you know, but they gave up on Monday. They just said, so if you have a very important 24 hours coming up, or you just want to show,
is that Alex Jones?
Yeah. Mary Berry over the weekend, there's something you cooked, then anything really.
I know,
she said, and just waved her arm, just get in touch about anything really.
They are a couple of days away from just saying, send us something. Whatever it is, send us something.
Yeah.
You know, the show Mary what you cooked at the weekend, they went to it right at the end and they held up a picture of a cake that a woman had made for a baby shower, which, I mean, who's to say it was that weekend? But she was obviously very proud of this cake, and so they showed it. And then there was a pavlova.
A few little photos of lovely cakes that you've been sending in.
Pass one over then.
Oh, there we go.
Look, now this one, I think that's quite good. Katie in Essex made this cake for a friend's little baby shower. It's very good, isn't it? There's a fox.
Oh, good. There's a lot of young cooks out there tonight. Look, Charlie, who is 12.
Oh, I'd go for that. That looks delicious. Oh, hang on a minute, Charlie. Hey?
I'm just looking at pictures of pavlova. Where's the entertainment
on
value
prime
in this?
Time television.
Yeah.
Did you think Mary Berry was a bit of a shit guest?
Well, I mean, that's harsh. That's harsh on Mary Berry.
Loaded question.
I think when your opposition is Tess Daly, I wouldn't be having a go at Mary Berry.
Claudia came across very well, as she always does, though.
She did.
She was funny. I like Claudia. Tess,
she spent the whole time saying, oh, I don't want to do the dance-a-thon because I don't do movement and I don't do exercise. Look at the size of her. It's such a lie. And I think it's really dangerous. I don't want to get too serious on this podcast, but it's actually...
Yeah, there's no point.
You know, but it's really annoying to me, that whole thing.
But she was saying things like, my advice in life is to just give 10%.
We mustn't peak too soon, Claude.
No, give 10% as in all things in life.
Save a little bit.
Which was getting laughs from the crew.
Yeah.
Which is a struggle.
And actually, it's advice that clearly Tess Daly has lived by.
And Mary Berry, who I want to get back to, because I thought Mary Berry, she was just, I mean, again, bless her, she's getting on a bit, right? And it was a bit, it reminded me of conversations I used to have with my gran shortly before all her marbles were lost.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And because Mary Berry was sort of trying to involve her, and she wasn't really focusing on any of it. It was just a kind of strange, and then they showed a clip of her. She's gone to Rome to make a program about cooking quickly.
Yeah, which I think is a perfect example of saying, how do we keep Mary Berry relevant? And the thing about Mary Berry that she's good at is she is a cook from, if you like, the 50s. And she says, I make these great big sort of fruit cakes and stuff like that. But they've gone, how can we make her contemporary? Let's see if she can do something in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those episodes. There is no commitment to quick cooking in any way.
Really?
She's like, well, this takes 20 minutes to prep, and then it goes in the oven for an hour and a half. But that's the quick bit is the prepping, guys. The quick bit is the early bit. And you're like, Mary, she has no interest in quick cooking. She's got time.
Well, she didn't have interest in anything. That was the problem. They said, you went all around the world with this show, Mary. All around the world. And they came off the back of this clip of her in Rome on the back of a Vespa. All around the world. And you went to Rome. Where else did you go? And she went,
oh, I went to Rome.
I went to Rome. We know.
What was the next one she said?
And then I went to London Airport.
London Airport.
To meet the fire brigade.
I went to London Airport to see the fire brigade.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's because this series is madness. Like she she also goes to Morocco, but then there are no other destinations, I don't think. Or maybe there's one more. Another one is set on a Navy warship in Southampton.
Right. Yeah.
It's odd.
I think there is a thing, you can see why they've done the quick recipes, because it's not just appealing to a new generation of people who don't have time to cook duck à l'orange. It's basically, you've looked at her and gone, she's 108, let us keep the work she has to do to a minimum, because otherwise this is going to be a four-episode series.
You know, I feel the opposite about Mary. I think she's totally with it, and Claudia treats her as if she's some kind of decaying relic and holds her up every time she walks on with her. I'm like, she wasn't with it.
So point they you know, the absolute shambles of when they went over to Radio 2 to try
because that was bad.
Joe Wiley was live on Radio 2, Claudia and Tess were at the One Show, and they had to, in the words of Matt Baker, run over to Wogan House. He didn't explain what that was.
No,
we know what Wogan House is. It's where Radio 2 lives.
Yeah.
The average viewer, what the hell's that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go over there. They then cut to that shot of them arriving. Joe Wiley's live on Radio 2, but they're not live on Radio 2 because there's a record playing. Okay, so then but they're live on BBC One.
It's worth saying as well. They then had another track playing over the back music.
That's right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was so badly done.
Absolute shambles. And no one had told Joe Wiley she was live on BBC One. She was just prepping for her next Radio 2 link. So she didn't know she was broadcasting.
So we'll hand over to Joe Wiley. Sarah Cox is there too.
It's the longest ever dance-a-thon for comic relief with Claudia Winkleman and Tess Daly.
I can see the girls now, they're here. So, yeah, they are. So, I can see how anxious this Claudia looks right now. Look how new her friends
are. Let the shimmy begin in three.
Tess, Claudia, why don't you come on in, okay? Okay, are we ready? Okay, I think the countdown is going to begin.
Go, go, go!
And I was thinking, please swear. Go on. But no, it was... And then they came back to Mary Berry, which was the point I was saying, Mary, can you... You know, they're dancing for 24 hours. And she just went, I can't imagine that.
Well, they're off and running, or off and dancing, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. That's, well, you said...
Striking pause.
Imagine 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mary, when they've still got a whole day to go.
I can't imagine it.
No.
And I thought... Well, you lack the imagination, Mary Berry, to just visualise two tired women.
Yeah,
well, and that's all.
Worth saying as well, this is not a new idea. This has been done year after year. I think Dermot O'Leary was the first person to do it. Sarah Cox then did it last year. And we're just redoing the same thing, but with a different celebrity. We know it can be done. We've seen it being done. Please think of something new.
Kilimanjaro, I say to you. So on Tuesday?
Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I've lost track. Alexander Armstrong and Ed Balls were on.
Strong double act.
Going up Kilimanjaro for comic relief.
Fresh from conquering Mount Kilimanjaro, look, for comic relief. It's Ed Balls and Alexander Armstrong.
Wow.
Welcome, boys.
Huge congratulations, first of all.
Which, of course, has been done before.
Yeah.
Quite a few times.
I seem to remember Chris Moyles and Cheryl Cole doing it.
If Chris Moyles can get up a hill, that shows you how easy Kilimanjaro is.
But I think it was like 10 years ago, unlike the dance-a-thon, which is over and over again.
Right.
I feel like that had been rested, that idea.
Okay.
I think that one was okay.
There are other mountains
there
in the world.
There probably are.
Like,
but Everest has quite a high rate of death, and I don't think Balls is
off
up.
Off you go, Balls.
Yeah.
There does need to be a slight element of risk in this. With the 24-hour dancing, it's not enough for me.
No, I know what you mean.
I'd like to see something that I sort of go... Like, remember when David Walliams was swimming the channel?
I do.
That seems like a long time ago, but that seems... If they'd have said Tess Daly swimming the channel, I'd have been like, I would watch that, because that sounds dangerous. And when it's just dancing in Wogan House for 24 hours...
Yeah.
But it's not even dancing. It's stepping from side to side.
Moving.
And, you know, saying, please text in and give me money.
They could make it better if they eliminated the toilet breaks.
You know, remember there? I kept clicking on red button and one of them was just... You know, off somewhere with their feet in ice or something.
Yeah. Yeah, if they just said, right, you can't stop dancing whatever you're doing. Carry on living your life, but you have to dance all the way through it. So you've just got, you know, a Tess Daly just pissing while moving from side to side. Again, more money would come in if that happened. Yeah. We should talk about Ed Balls and Alexander Armstrong, because there was a bit when, and this was happened twice this week. That one show thing of, you know, the one show audience, right? I think we, you know, we can sort of, the people who watch the one show for entertainment are a certain demographic, right? We kind of established that, and then they said, okay, so how do you two know each other? Are you friends? Didn't they? And then he said, well, yes, we are friends after Kilimanjaro, said Ed Balls, because I popped into Xander's North Oxfordshire place while I was taking my daughter to university.
I dropped in at Xander's house on Saturday. I was picking my daughter up from university, had a cup of coffee.
And then Alex said, yeah, so if you've got any stories you'd like to share with us, that's today's call out. Mm. Okay.
Have you got any stories
Stories, yeah.
Let us know.
People watch this go, yeah, I'm at a food bank. Yeah, I'm at a food bank trying to find something to feed my, you know, feed my family, thanks to the policies of Ed Balls as former economic advisor to the Treasury. Look at him round Xander's North Oxfordshire house.
Mm.
It's all for comic relief.
Have you ever seen his house?
Xander's?
Yeah.
No.
I've seen it on television before.
Right.
It's like an Elizabethan mansion. I mean, it's just...
Of course it is.
...knockout. One little fact I know about it, it's also... I think he recorded his own album in his mansion.
Of course he did.
Mate, he's got a big, like, kitted-out studio.
But you're missing out the massive burn that Balls delivered to Xander, which was my favourite bit of the whole week's one show, I would say, when Xander was trying to, I don't know, be down with the kids or something, and said, oh, Ed came over to my hood. And Ed was like... Ed was like, when you say hood, what you mean is North Oxford.
In my community. In my hood. Yeah. No, I know Jack very well. In fact, I spent last
hood.
Friday...
Your hood?
Yes, my hood. You've seen my hood. You know my hood.
I wouldn't call it a hood. It was North Oxford.
Yeah.
It's much of a hood, mate. It was great. And Xander looks kind of red and sheepish.
Yeah. There was a really odd bit with Ben Miller as well.
I liked that.
But they got Ben Miller off of Armstrong and Miller to record a video basically begging Alexander Armstrong to come back to comedy sketch shows.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it was like a sort of comic relief appeal video. And he was saying, you know, Xander has been lost to the world of
pointless
presenting.
Yeah.
You could see in Ben's eyes that he really wants another series.
Hi. My name's Ben Miller, and with Red Nose Day on the horizon, I want to talk to you about a cause very close to my heart. Alexander Armstrong. From 2006 to 2009, I was in a sketch show with Alexander on this very channel, called The Armstrong and Miller Show. Sadly, in 2009, we had to give up The Armstrong and Miller Show because Alexander was discovered to be a presenter. Let's bring Alexander Armstrong back where he belongs, to comedy. Thanks, guys.
It was quite a strange thing.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There was another bit with when Sarah Cox was on the show as well, where they, as if, you know, you hadn't sort of alienated your audience with talk of North Oxfordshire hood.
Mm.
Sarah Cox was plugging a autobiography.
Sarah Cox's autobiography.
Correct. I know, that's exactly what I wrote. I actually wrote that noise down.
I lost Sarah. Having anything said against her.
Well, wait. So she said something like, my book rings true, right, with so many girls, because your pony is your first love.
I think this will ring true with a lot of girls, I think, especially who ride when they're little. Your pony's kind of your first love, because you spend hours sort of, you know, whispering in his ear and snuggling and nuzzling.
What? And I was thinking, again, the people at the food banks who are eating bits of pony to stay alive.
Yeah. That's,
you know, what are you talking about? This isn't your audience. They haven't got ponies.
No.
The viewers of The One Show.
No.
What are they doing? What are they talking about?
I cannot tell you the last time I saw a pony. I would say in the last 10 years, because I live in a city, I think I may have seen two horses and they were charging at people who were protesting something. That would be it.
But Sarah Cox on one of them, loving it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has. She's got a book out. And it became very clear, though, that Matt Baker hadn't read a word of it.
No, right. In fairness to Matt, I can sort of understand that. I mean, I like Sarah Cox a great deal. I'm not sure I'm ready to read an autobiography.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about the fact that she had this rural upbringing. I think that was more the point, so that, you know, us city lot wouldn't get it. But I would have thought that Matt would have responded better to that as a fellow country.
There was one, like, that she tried to involve him, because Matt basically sat this interview out because
really?
He had nothing. Even though he has that, as you say, he's a farming lad, isn't he? And he did say one thing. He said that he said he couldn't live without his sheep.
I can't live without. I obviously I can't live without my sheep and my kit. You know, it's just a great thing to instill that kind of, you know, the discipline. And
that was all he had.
Does he get some kind of grant for them?
I imagine he probably does. The only thing he had to say at the end of the interview with Sarah Cox was that he liked the cover of the book.
I love the front cover of your book, by the way, with you on the Hereford.
Oh,
he genuinely said that.
Sarah Cox did do that series where she tried to get farmers laid.
They mentioned, basically,
wasn't it?
That's coming back. They did an appeal for sex-hungry farmers.
Yeah.
Look, are you a sex-hungry farmer?
Move to the city. Move to the city. There's loads of people here, and you won't be, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. you know, to murder animals.
Did you learn an interesting fact this week?
Did I? Not really. I mean, I got a good tweet, which I did like.
Oh, yeah.
And that was from Martin.
Yeah.
And he was talking about something we mentioned last week, which is how they've begun over-explaining the VTs that they go into. So rather than just say, here's an interesting story told by someone that I think you're going to like, they will go, now, sandwich carers. It sounds like it's an interesting meal, but it's not. What it is this, that, the other, da-da-da-da-da, and here is a video which will start by saying exactly what I've just told you. And then it goes in. And Martin said, I actually now think of the way that The One Show clumsily ruins an otherwise okay VT with its needless summarising as one-splaining. And one-splaining is a great little bit where you set someone up by explaining what they're going to talk about. Beautiful.
Very, very good.
Our Twitter has been a nightmare this week because Sophie Raworth, who is a presenter, she'd obviously done something for The One Show.
We'll talk about that.
I think a run.
Yeah, that's correct. She raced a horse.
And like many, many people, she got the wrong Twitter handle for The One Show.
Brilliant.
The One Show is BBC, at BBC The One Show.
Yeah.
Ours is at The One Show Show.
Yeah.
Couldn't have the first D. There's not enough characters. But it's just meant that I think we've had like 300 tweets, and it's all people going, good on you. You make a big difference. And I was thinking, these cannot be for us.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like to think we're changing The One Show as we go along.
If anything, we've made it more boring for everyone. We can only apologise.
Sophie Raworth was racing a horse.
That was mental. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that word anymore, but it was mad.
I mean, you are, because it is. She was, there was a
racing against it.
There is an annual competition which is called Man, sexist, versus Horse.
Right, okay.
Which...
And what happens in that,
well,
over that ambiguously named over, competition?
Over 22 miles.
22 miles?
Yeah. A lot of it uphill, a lot of it through rivers, a lot over marshland. People... not just men, people race horses.
Right.
And in 38 years...
this is not going to surprise me.
A man has won twice.
Do you think a human could beat a horse in a race? Well, every year over 1,000 people try, and I'm one of them.
Llanortid Wells in Mid Wales is where we all gather for one of the most bizarre endurance races in the world. Man versus horse.
Did the other two horses just have no idea where the finish line was? They're cantering off in any direction.
But there are people riding the horse. I mean, they're not just let the horses go, which I assume. No, people are riding the horses. So there's horse riders.
This is man versus man and horse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's inaccurately
it's
named.
It's like Blockbusters when you got the two versus one. That's basically what it is.
Which they talked about as well, actually. Exactly. We'll come to that. But yeah, but then there were so many different rules about whether or not the horse had won. So it's not just... So the people get a 15-minute head start, okay? And then the horse... You go, that's not a lot, is it? There's a horse coming. So the horse then...
But who's decided 15 minutes?
Exactly, yeah. Where does that come from? Why not an hour? Because the horse would still win. and then they had a... And yeah, Sophie Raworth was doing it.
Right.
But not for the one show. She was just there.
What?
So the one show reporter just sort of latched onto Sophie Raworth, who was just doing it anyway. How, it was kind of
the
odd.
The strange lives of our nation's television presenters.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just racing a horse. Natural, natural thing.
Someone well used to extreme terrain is BBC News anchor Sophie Raworth.
Where are the horses?
But it was, the rules were, the horse, you could be timed over the distance, but then the horse had to be timed over the distance. But the horse only won if its heartbeat, upon testing within half an hour of finishing, was below 60 BPM.
The vet check will decide whether it's man or horse.
They haven't won until they've passed the vet check, the final vet check.
Peter has 30 minutes to get Ronnie's heart rate below 60 beats per minute to show he hasn't overworked his horse.
Look, I'm going to come clean on this.
What?
I think there are a lot of different things that have been put in here by humans to nobble the horse. The horse is going to win this race. And then we've brought in a load of different criteria that the horse then has to meet, which benefit us. If you're going to race a horse, just race it. If you lose, take it on the chin. Don't cry about it. We've got things like cups and stairs that we're good at. The horse is good at running. Let it have one victory.
Let it do it. It was one of many things that Matt Baker decided this week was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I agree with it.
But you did have, like, 1 minute Sarah Cox waxing lyrical about her pony and this lovely relationship, and the next minute... You know, thrashing a horse so much that you had to have a stethoscope to its chest to see if it had calmed down. What on earth is this programme?
It's perfect BBC balance. Ponies are wonderful, horses are useless.
Oh,
you've got to have both sides of the debate.
The other things that Matt found unbelievable this week, by the way, because I wrote them down, because he just seemed to just say that word. And I've never really noticed it before, but now I'm going to look out for it forever. So, interesting fact of the week. I don't know whether you learned anything, Emma, but I also learned that 100 Barbies are sold every minute around
yes.
the world,
mm.
which apparently is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That was another thing that they tried to engage Mary in, but she wasn't having it.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. She was not focusing at all. Mm. What dolls did you play with when you were little Mary? I didn't really play with dolls.
No,
I did you with some wood?
Did your daughter have a doll? Yeah, but she got over it very quickly.
Yeah,
was her other answer?
Did you allow your children Barbies in
there? Yes, Annabelle did have Barbies, but she soon discarded them and went climbing trees and getting outside and enjoying the great outside. Really, I don't think she was that keen on it.
Okay, good chat. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nothing, yeah. Mary.
Mary, can I ask one question? Are you really fucked off with one of us for any reason? Okay, good, because you're being hard work.
She was hard work. Tess and Claudia dancing, by the way. Unbelievable.
Right.
That was another thing. Fruit flies were unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah, they were 70% of our DNA shared with fruit flies.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, according to Matt.
Elaine Page told
a
joke.
I knew you were going there.
About fruit flies that I didn't get, no one got. And it's odd that in the same week of the one show, fruit flies, a quite specific reference comes up in two different shows.
What was Elaine Page's joke?
Well, it was Comic Relief, wasn't it? Red Nose Day. And so Richard Curtis had, they'd asked him to text his celebrity friends for jokes that they could use on the one show. And he...
Only one person replied.
Yes.
Lenny Henry.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
You could always rely on Lenny. Lenny's joke was, what's so great about Switzerland? I don't really know, but the flag's a big plus. You know.
I think that's all right.
Fair enough.
Nice little gag.
Yeah.
And then they said, Elaine, do you have one? And you could see the panic in Elaine's eyes. The morning white wine had worn off for Elaine. And the joke was perplexing.
Yeah, but I can't remember the opening line of it. I remember the punchline, but not the opening line.
It was time flies.
Time flies like something.
Like an arrow.
Yeah, but fruit flies like a banana. Hey.
Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana.
Oh, very that was the joke. There's nothing wrong there.
No.
Emma didn't get a word missing. No. That is Elaine Page's go-to joke.
I mean, I understand it. I understand it.
She did say, this never gets a laugh, but I like it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then she was thinking, this is the
She
time.
Turned to Richard Curtis, pointing at Matt and Alex, just sort of going, they didn't get it. They didn't get it.
Richard Curtis, the nicest man in the world, still couldn't muster up a proper laugh for it. He really tried, but he couldn't get there.
The problem is, okay, yeah, fruit flies like bananas. That's fine. But what's the connection between fruit time, fruit flies, banana and arrow? There isn't one. It's like something a child would say. So go, I've come up with a joke. Have you? Yes. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Yes, don't they? Doctor, I think there's something wrong with our child.
She didn't like the reviews game either. She was generally not having a great time.
No,
on that,
she wasn't. She wasn't. I have always a feeling as well, sometimes you get a guest on like Elaine Page, and she is good value. By and large, she's great value, but I think they have too much comic relief stuff, and so she sort of feels like, oh, I'm just here to fill a gap, but they keep coming to me, but they're not really interested because it's about this comic relief thing. And of course, because it's comic relief, you can't sit there and just go, this is a waste of my fucking time, because it's comic relief.
That would have been brilliant.
Or Elaine Page had just come out with, you know, a really offensive joke, and it's live television, they can't do anything about it.
Would have been wonderful.
What's
it?
Blue and fuck's... Shut up, Elaine! Shut up!
How do you make a Polish girl pregnant? Elaine, thank you very much. Great to see you. Jesus Christ. She was on with Richard Curtis, and he was doing his Red Nose Day thing, and he is really, really charming and funny. He's actually perfect in those situations, because you wouldn't normally get Richard Curtis doing a chat show.
Yeah.
He does it because it's Red Nose Day, and he really, really pushes that. And so he was great on there.
Well, they pay him a lot of money.
which, of course, doesn't go to comic relief. That's very much Richard's purse.
Money. Yeah.
there is no basis for that allegation. Let me make that clear. The last thing we need is having to make a huge donation to Red Nose Day, which he then keeps. No, which he wouldn't do. That, again, groundless allegation. they had a little piece about the centrepiece of Red Nose Day, which I think was gone by the time you listen to this, which is Four Weddings and a Funeral 2.
Okay.
And I think it's going out on Red Nose Day. Am I right about that?
Which would have been last Friday.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. And Richard Curtis, they had a sort of behind the scenes look at it with Angelica Bell. And
your go-to person for a behind-the-scenes look at Four Weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was disappointing about it, and it hasn't been out, I'm not, you know, we can't really be reviewing it at this stage. People will now know. I did watch that, and I do think there is always a criticism about Richard Curtis's films that they lack people of colour. And watching that, just the piece, every time I paused it on a crowd scene, everyone is white.
Really?
And it was really like, oh, have you sort of like not been hearing the criticism at any point about this? You still go on. There was a, you know, welcome to a wedding thing, and the address on it was, you know, St. John's Church, Islington. And I was like, oh my gosh, he sort of lives in this mad bubble.
Lenny Henry sent him a joke.
Yeah, that's so, I bet Lenny Henry bloody didn't. I bet that's his go-to thing. That you go, why aren't there any people of colour in your film? And he goes, oh, sorry, that's my phone going, that's Lenny Henry.
He's the only one I know.
But
they're all the same. So. Richard, put the money down and don't say that.
Did you notice, though, that he was having a chat, Richard, and he kind of described the film, and then they showed the package, and he, word for word, quoted himself from like
pro.
2 minutes before.
What a pro.
I was like, so you've wasted the interview time by getting him to say exactly the same thing again. What skilled interviewers you are.
A classic bit of one-splaining.
Alan Partridge, I feel, is going to let us down. You know, he's doing a live broadcast from Norfolk. And then we've got some amazing music. Emily Sande, Keane are playing a fantastic song. So I think it's going. And then the people from Kilimanjaro actually turning up live. And
well done.
Sure.
They did that as well with the Radio 2 Tess and Claudia thing, didn't they? So when they were in the one show about to go over to Wogan House, which we mentioned, they asked them all sorts of questions about dancing and how difficult it was. And, oh, do you think it'd be all right? And all that nonsense. They go over to Radio 2. The one show cuts live to it, as we've just talked about. Joe Wiley asked exactly the same questions in the same order. We've just heard all of this.
Because no one had briefed Joe Wiley.
No, at all.
terrible.
There's live cameras, Jo Wiley. You're live on BBC One. She's just chatting to Sarah Cox.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Not on air, just chatting.
And then also, when they went back the next day for the end of the dance-a-thon, Jo Wiley, professional interviewer, was like, oh, what were your highlights? I liked the bit with Jeremy Vine, and they were talking about that. And then, like, you know, 3 minutes later, Alex Jones goes, what about Jeremy Vine?
Yes, I know.
Can we just ask you your highlights, some of the highlights? Because there have been some bizarre scenes. I think Jeremy Vine and Rylan, can we talk about that?
That dance-off was a personal highlight.
Getting the totals.
John Snow coming to dance.
I mean, that was... He just
Emily Maitlis.
Jeremy Vine.
Jeremy Vine.
And he's dancing with Rylan.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's been...
That's already been covered, Alex. Stop. Stop it. And then Tess had to be a bit like, yeah, love, like... No, but
and if Tess is criticising your presenting skills, you are in trouble.
Yeah, that was a low point.
They did have four drag queens on the Comet Relief Red Nose Day episode who were just sort of doing something to raise money.
Yeah,
they were saying, I think it was like a drag-a-thon, whatever that is, as if that's it. They brightened up the whole place, and the first time one of them spoke, the entire room laughed. And then we went back to all the sort of, you know, the normal stuff. And I just thought, I would love the one show to just have a thing once a week where they go, we're going to take over now. We got our Thursday takeover, and here are four drag queens from Birmingham, and they're going to do the show. They've made the videos, they're presenting it, and they've chosen who they want to interview. And I think if you're going to start making it a bit like local news, just throw it up in the air a bit. No one is going to write in and say, I really missed Matt and Alex. No one's going to say
might.
That. It gives him more time to slaughter cattle over the moon.
What is a dragathon, by the way?
Don't know. Okay. They didn't really explain it. But,
of course not. It's a launcher.
But I was delighted by it because whatever it was, they seemed like a group of brilliant people who were really keen and funny and charming. And I wanted to see more of them. A classic one show thing of going, these guys, there seems like, you know, that they're worth doing. They are good TV.
Yeah.
But we've got a video that we want to play you about the 60th birthday of Barbie. You know.
Well, we should talk about that. So this was the bit that Mary Berry, you know, didn't really engage with the doll conversation, wasn't it, as well? But they did touch on the problematic areas of Barbie criticism.
Mm.
They may not have done it about Richard Curtis and his all-white filmmaking, but they certainly did here, where they sort of
pick your battles.
Yeah. But they sort of go, right, okay, Barbie was launched in the, you know, in the 50s, and it's always been this sort of slim Barbie-shaped Barbie, the one, you know. But now there's a whole range, which I didn't know, actually. Why would you play children's dolls?
You've got two children who are girls.
I know.
You'd think you might have had an idea that there were dolls.
We don't have dolls for them. We have boys' toys, because that's the modern world, Mark. They've got diggers and action men, and they'll bloody like it. But no, I had no idea that this... So there's a firefighter Barbie now. And they panned across. Did you see that they got them all set up?
Last International Women's Day, they came out with new dolls that show different role models to show that your opportunities can be endless from wherever you come from. You can have all of these different jobs, and it doesn't just mean that scientists can be men, they can be women as well. So I think she promotes that idea of women can do anything.
But I wonder if they all sell in the same numbers. Well,
that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But a scientist Barbie, a wheelchair Barbie, a Barbie in a wheelchair. But I noticed as they were panning across with loads of these different Barbies, not one black Barbie.
Nothing. Really?
They were all white, all of them. And I thought, and also, they had a conversation about body image. And they said, now there's a Barbie for everyone's body image, and that's very important in what we've done. No, there wasn't. I mean, they were all, you know, one had slightly wider thighs than the next one. But what I wanted to see, and there might be one, I don't know, is, you know, fucking fat old Barbie. You know, the sort of person you see in the Daily Star sitting on a couch that has to be winched out of their house by Fireman Barbie. Firewoman Barbie.
Give me a Ken that looks like me. Right? It's going to cost about twice as much as the regular one because there's a lot more plastic in it. But give me a Ken that looks like me.
Super fat Barbie comes with a remote control. You can lose in her folds. I mean, it's just... But they didn't mention it. They panned across another load of Barbies. There was a black Barbie.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh,
I'm sure there is.
What there was a Chinese Barbie.
Important.
Yeah.
Big market.
They hadn't done the eyes. it was a Barbie in traditional Chinese costume.
Right. Thinking,
you know, the way the world is now,
it's cultural appropriation.
Exactly. So you've got a Western Barbie dressed in Chinese? Is that, are we? Are we asking those questions? No, we're not. We're not.
Well, it's just the one show.
Oh, no. Alex said she was only allowed a Cindy. Matt said, why? And she's, well, Barbie was a bit...
Before that, we're going to talk Barbie because she was celebrating her 60th birthday over the weekend. You were a big fan, weren't you, back
I love Barbie, but Mam wasn't. I had to have a Cindy. Fair because enough. Apparently Barbie was a bit...
What? What was Barbie?
How much is she getting paid to talk in half sentences? I'm not used to that.
At least she managed a sentence. One episode this week, she couldn't speak because she was shoving a sandwich or a cake or something into her gob.
That was Mary Berry's cappuccino biscuit
cake.
That's
right, yeah. Yeah,
and she had no qualms about sort of just going, I'm sacking off this show. And she didn't do it in a particularly jokey way. She just started eating it. And Matt's like, oh, well, you're enjoying that. I suppose I better do it. And she was just like, yeah, fucking do it. And it went out to silence. It's quite nice to see someone actually on a TV show eating something enjoying it rather than that sort of thing of people just looking at it and going, oh, that is absolutely delicious. It was nice to see someone going, actually, you know, I like this so much, I'm going to do what a normal human does and I'm going
to
eat it.
Continue to eat it, yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. And so that brings us to the close of part one of this week's The One Show Show. Part two will be wherever you get your podcasts tomorrow, and it comes with a free binder to keep all of your The One Show Show podcasts in. It'll pick up exactly where this one left off, which will be mildly confusing for about a minute. Subscribe, please, rate, go on, review, help us, and follow us on Twitter at The One Show Show for no real reason or benefit. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Mark Haynes, and for the last 32 years, I've been a fan of professional wrestling. My friend Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, he hasn't. But in our podcast, Wrestle Me, the two of us subject the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment, WrestleMania, to the kind of rigorous scrutiny that ruins it entirely. GQ called Wrestle Me enrapturing. Shortlist said it's beautiful. And it's a hit with common people too, with well over 400 five-star reviews on iTunes. Wrestle Me, available from all good podcast providers.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.